Okay, so this is our fifth and final chabura on the topic of Ben Sora Moreh slash Midan Hashem Sofo. Hope that like that was like a clap for like how good the sugya was. Not that like okay.
Every single time you say that, you know.
Oh, okay. 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 So yeah. So hopefully we'll wrap up the sugya tonight. And move on to Bo Machteres again, another Gishmak sugya next week. Okay. So the final issue that we have to discuss is the issue of, you know, squaring the notion of Midan Hashem Sofo, which is judging a person based on the future, with another klal, which seems to say the exact opposite. The klal of what? Three words? Exactly, Basher Husham, which basically says what? Not what it wants. Exactly. So, right, if you're looking for like the opposite of Nidan Hashem Sofo, you'd probably invoke Basher Husham. So what's the context of Basher Husham? Where is that originally mentioned in the Torah?
Ishmael.
Ishmael, exactly. All right, what's the quick background?
You
know, he's about to die. Exactly. So the just run through quickly the two earliest sources for the notion of Basher Husham. Again, the first one being Rosh Hashanah Tazayin Amabez. Anybody have the Gemara open or did you bring it? I'll just bring it. I'll just read it really quickly. Rosh Hashanah Tazayin Amabez says the Amar of Yitzchak. Ain donin es ha'adam elo lefi ma'isav shel osasha. Right, we only can adjudicate a person based on the actions of now. Shenemar, again, quoting this episode of Yishmael, ki reshama elokim el kol anar ba'asher husham. Again, invoking that when Hashem was deciding, you know, whether to keep Yishmael alive, he didn't take into account his future actions or the future actions of his descendants. It's rather ba'asher husham basing the judgment on Yishmael's actions today. So again, that's the Gemara Rashana Tazayin Abayis. And the other makor for this comes from the Medrash, again, quoted by Rashi on the spot. Again, this is in Bereishis, Perech Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Yudzayin. Rashi there quotes in Bereishis Rabbah, who again basically says the same thing as the Gemara, but just a little more spelt out, more details. It says again, Basher Husham, the Pasuk, which that, you know, we adjudicated Yishmael based on his actions as of now. So Medrash gives the background. Amar Rav Simon, right? Kavtsu Malachi Asharis, the Katrigo. Basically, the Malachi Asharis came out to basically act as like the prosecutors against Rav Yishmael, justifying leaving Yishmael to die and trying to convince Hashem Kiviyachal against saving him. So Amar Lefanav Ribon HaOlam, right, they're addressing Hashem. Adam, Shu Asid Lahamis Espanecha, Bitsame, right, the future, right, the descendants of Yishmael, right, who are going to end up killing your children in a time, right, when they're all, when they're in, you know, dire need for water, etc., etc. Atamalo Be'er, and you're going to end up saving, you know, Yishmael with the same, the irony of history, you know, the same water which, you know, which his descendants are going to use to terrorize Klai Yisrael, that same water you're going to use to save Yishmael in time of need. So Hashem responds with this Yisod, Amar lam achshav mahu tzadik or rasha. Based on his actions as of now, what is he, a rasha or a tzadik? So Malachim have to admit, Amar lo tzadik in a chanami, as of now he's a tzadik. So therefore Hashem responds, the same idea, Amar lahem, therefore, ain't he done as a adam ela b'shaito. Right, we're only down a person based on his actions as of now, the same notion of Basher Husham. Therefore, Kumi Si'i Asanar, and then Hashem goes on to tell Hagar that he's going to save the child.
Right, so,
I'm not familiar. Maybe afterwards. I'm not. That's not my strong suit.
Yeah.
Fine. Again, so these makoros, basically these makoros, which, right, support this notion of Basher Husham, which at first glance pose a problem of how are you going to square our sugya of Nidon Hashem Sofer for Ben Sofer Moreh with this opposing klau of Basher Husham, which is invoked in the context of Yishmael. So again, as we've seen throughout this sugya, this issue, like most other issues in the sugya, has to be analyzed in light of the bigger picture, in light of the two approaches that we have been developing. Namely, according to the second approach we have been developing, that really the Ikar Mechayev of Ben Sora Moreh, the Ikar Mechayev of Nidon Hashem Sofer is really the past. And according to the second approach, the future is not the Ikar Mechayev, it's rather just shedding light on the past. So then, there's not really such a stira between Ba'asher Husham and Nidon Hashem Sofer. Right? Because if you think about it, although Nidon Hashem Sofer at face value sounds like, oh, it's the future, which seems to be a stira to Ba'asher Husham, is about the present, about the past, really, according to the second approach, there's no stira at all. Because just like Ba'asher Husham thinks that the Mechayev is the past, Nidon Hashem Sofer also thinks that the Ikar Mechayev is the past. And according to the second approach, the Nidon Hashem Sofer is just using the future to shed light on the past. So again, this whole question doesn't get off the ground if you adopt the second approach that even, which thinks that the Ikar Mechayev of Nidon Hashem Sofer is really the past. And it's fascinating that if you look back to the Rishonim or the Mefarshim who adopt the second approach, which think that Nidon Hashem Sofer, Ben Sora Mora is really the Ikar Mechayev, is the past, namely the Rush, Hadas HaKenim, the Kli Chemda, from what I could see, they never ask this kasha. None of them ask this stira between Nidon Hashem Sofer and Ba'asher Husham, which I think works out very nicely with the Shitasam, because for them there's no stira. Because they hold that the past, the current status is always the Mechayev, is always the Koveya. Nidon Hashem Sofer is just utilizing the future just to shed light on the past. That's an important ha'ara. But, according to the first approach, which thinks that really the Ikar Mechayev of Nidon Hashem Sofer really is the future, so then you have a stira. Or then you have a blatant stira between the Klalim of Ba'asher Husham, which thinks that the past is Mechayev, and Nidon Hashem Sofer, which thinks that the future is Mechayev. And we're going to just spend a couple of minutes going through a number of answers presented in the Mefarshim, how you resolve, right, if both of these are true, that by Yishmael, the past is Koveya, by Ben Sora Moreh, the future is Koveya, so then what is the Koveya? Meaning, what is the determining factor of when you follow the past, and what is the determining factor of when you follow the future? Ali, you have a question before? For now? So far, so good? No questions? Okay, I think it's the longest we've done. Just keep on going. Fine. Okay. So anyone recall the answer that the Mizrahi gives? Again, there are two Mizrahis, again, in the source sheet, sources 9 and 10. Mizrahi basically presents this stira in both Bereishis in the context of Yishmael and in Devarim in the context of Ben Sora Moreh. He presents, at least it's water now.
The towel's wet.
Yeah, it's partially wet. Okay, so, does anybody recall, the Mizrahi's answer to this question, right, after setting up this stira explicitly between, Yishmael and Ben Sora Moreh, how he answers the question?
Well, it really is not sure, because current actions show what he will do in the future. We are being done with Ba'asher Husham because Ba'asher Husham, part of it is in the future.
Okay, that's an interesting. Where's Ezra? That's sort of like the way you were doing. What do you mean by that? Let's read inside. What he was saying, the Mizrahi. Right? Mizrahi? Let's read inside. What? No. It's a take on it. I would have said it slightly differently. So let's just read it inside. First, the Mizrahi in Bereishis, like in source number 9.
Okay,
go for it.
Bashir Hashem, he mice of Shalachar, because his current actions is not to be judged. Benzor Moreh, Benzor Moreh, they're going to disappear. Shunera Bashir Sofa.
Right, so that's the implicit Kasha, the direct stira.
Yeah, because he's in the office, so which has the word Bashir Hashem.
Yeah.
I didn't even make Shakar Hissil, the drop of being in the mice of Aram, which is what he already started doing. The actions that will eventually bring him to do the more actions that are bad in the future.
Okay. Okay, so before... Okay, yeah, so how are you interpreting that?
Okay. That the reason it's not... That the reason on ways both Al-Shin Sofo and the Bashir Rishon is that because he already begun in the drama being the vice in Aram Shebis Sofo, the Shebis Sofo is kind of indicated and therefore becomes part of the vice that are in option.
Okay, but again, where is the, let's say in this case, Melasim et Zabrios, where is the Chiyavisa? Where is the actual Maiso which is going to be Mechayiv?
By the Zewa, it's by the... It's
not, not. It's true that the actual Maiso is in the future, because it's already indicated based on his previous action. It's not like Adam Dehu, like by Yishmael, we're saying, oh, okay, we know in the future based on nothing that he's going to do something bad, therefore we're going to kill him now. The weird is that based on what we know that he's going to do something bad in the future.
Where is holding this kid? Okay. He's holding as such a guy who does the mirrors.
Okay, interesting.
Okay, we're already from the Astro Bash here, so.
Okay, interesting. Okay, those are definitely. I was going to say.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. It's about the Kodesh that we know that Shmuel is going to say. It's not like, well, if anyone is going to do a mirror in the future, you're going to kill him right away now. That's how the world works. Shmuel says, well, wait for you to do a mirror, and then we'll punish you.
Is that what Mizrahi is saying, or that's what.
You
give me another answer.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying the Ruach HaKodesh can be said by Nidon Hashem's, any Nidon Hashem,
so far. Based on what you're doing, naturally, there would be a Vera. Based on what Yishmael did, naturally,
you
can end up birthing.
Okay, so you're coming off the Mizrahi a little. Okay.
Kind of.
Okay, it's just to say.
How do you say the Mizrahi?
Also, Yishmael's children, not him.
Okay, that's another factor which is brought up. Yeah.
First of all, should it be true that Yishmael didn't start seeing it? Because you see that you have to think about,
Sorry.
Sarah had to think about the house.
Okay, very good.
And also, I don't
know why. That's according to some Midrashim. We're going to see the Mizrahi. Actually, Elazar, actually, you ask this on an approach I'm going to say in a couple of minutes, which makes it even stronger. Basically, the Mizrahi points out that this could be machlokas in Midrashim. This Medrash, which says by Bashir Husham, might disagree with that other Medrash, which says the Lashon Tzachik in the Pasuk, which implied that he was like over the big three Averos, but our time disagrees with that.
Also, why did the Mizrahi do it easier to look in that?
Before we get, I just want to summarize what the Mizrahi is saying. I think I have a little different. So, in my mind, basically, the Mizrahi poses the question, right, Vistira? Is the Koveya Bashir Husham the past? Is the Koveya the past Bashir Husham, or is the Koveya the future in Nidon Hashem Sofo? So I think the way the Mizrahi answers the question is that the Koveya of whether we will look to a future Avera,
what does that mean, Koveya?
The determining factor of whether we will look to the future is whether you already started that Avera. Started the Avera, or started the process of that Avera. Again, we'll see those are two different formulations, which is, I think, a slight distinction, subtle distinction between the Mizrahi in the Bereishis and Devarim. We'll get back to that. So the way I understood that is, let's say, along the lines that if you think that Nidon Hashem Sofo is that being mechayev the person as if he committed the Aveir in the future, so it could be that the Mizrahi is saying that the only time it makes sense to hold someone culpable, responsible for an Aveir that they didn't yet do, is if they at least started the Avera. Once they started the Avera, or started the process which leads to the Avera, so then that's a sufficient connection, it's a sufficient seirah between them and the Avera to be mechayev that person as if they completed the Avera. That's the way, again, subtle distinction. To me, it's not that, it's all, I think what Yitzi was saying is that, it's all Bashir Husham. To me, is that no, there are some cases of Bashir Husham, which is totally the past. There are certain cases which we care about the future. What determines when we ignore the future and when we take into take the future into account, the answer to that is whether the person has already started the Avera in the future, or at least started the process which leads to the Avera in the future. Because again, as I was saying before, if you think that the vart of Nidin al Shem Sof is holding someone accountable as if they did it, so then the Mizrahi is saying the only time you can do that is if when they started the Avera. Once they started the Avera, so then we can hold you accountable as if you finished it. But before you started it, because I mean, you don't see that us, you know, a...
In other words, if this guy somehow dies right now, he goes to Shemayim...
The Ein Adom is someone who we know is going to do something to the fact that he at least started doing it. I think that's a distinction that the Mizrahi is drawing.
Then you start running into the problems again of Yamazakai, Yamazakai. Because once you start explaining the Vasher Rishon versus Nilash and Sofa in that way, then you start running into, then how do you understand the Yamazakai on his
side? You're just basically asking Santana, Shalom.
Or Zakai.
On that explanation.
The explanation that you're just downing the person as if they did it already?
Based on how we just explained that
excuse. Meaning, yeah. Well, it's more, again, it's the relative, again, yeah, it's the relative. Meaning, it's the relative Zakai. I mean, Eino Dome on a Zakai Chayav level, someone who has started an Avera, or started the process of an Avera, it's someone who completed the Avera. So, again, just important, meaning, if you notice when I was saying two different formulations of whether the Mizrahi is saying that the Koveya is starting the Avera itself, or starting the process of the Avera, so if you look very carefully, I think these are the two formulations of the Mizrahi in the two places. If you look back in source number 9, if you guys have it, right, the Mizrahi in Bereishis, the Lashon was, B'nei shekvar hischil, b'drachim ha-meviim l'ma'asim ha-ro'im shebisoko. So there, the implication is, not you didn't start the Avera itself, you started a process which will ultimately lead to the Avera, right, which is the simple idea. In this case, you stole, right, which will eventually lead to the Avera of Melasim and Sabrios. But you didn't start to the actual Melasim and Sabrios yet. But in Star Con- What?
Even though you did not do any bit of the Avera in the past.
Exactly, meaning the first formulation of Mizrahi and Bereishis is that the Koveya is not the beginning of the Avera itself, it's the beginning of the process of the Avera. V'drachem ha-meviim lidei Avera. In contrast to Mizrahi and Devarim, if you look very carefully, there it says, anyone have it?
Just
exactly, louder you to? Shiny Hassam, starting with three lines on the top. You see
it. Shiny Hassam, Shadayin lo hisla lo savira, shal sama lo mina lo
hisla. Right, that's Yishmael of Al-Hacha, yeah?
And Al-Hacha, kar hisla lo shuso shal asir. You already started now the bad action.
Exactly, right. It sounds like you started the rishis itself. It sounds like you started the avera itself, according to my view. Yeah, that's enough for now. So again, that's an important distinction. Again, it seems to be different Mishmos and the different Mizrahis. Again, the importance, number one importance, is just like Lamaisa, what's the Koveya between Nidin Hashem Sof and Basher Hashem? Is it the Avera itself? Or is it the process of the Avera? That's one. That Chiluk is important, you know, for that. And another thing it's important for is now understanding the relationship between the Gneva, right, the action which is done presently, and the future Melasim is Abrios. Now, if you think of it, at face value, you would say that the formulation of Bereishis makes a lot of sense, because, you know... Exactly. He didn't start the Melasim is Abrios. He did Gneva, but Gneva is part of the process which leads to the Melasim is Abrios, but it's not Melasim is Abrios yet. But the question is then, in Devarim, when he says that Ben Sora Mora, you started the Rishis itself, so then how do you explain the connection between the Geneva and the Melasim and Sabrios in such a way that it's really one continuum, it's one Rishus? So it's possible to suggest, based on something we've been developing, that if you formulate, again, as we pointed out, that the Gemara in Peches and Beis, which says that the other V'imo have the ability to be Mochel, the Ben Sora Mora, so we pointed out that highlights that the Iker Mechayev of Ben Sora Mora, according to all the approaches, is the merit, exactly, the bizayon to the parents. Again, we worked that out mostly for the Das Kanim and the Rush, the focus in the Kala of the Gim on the past, but you're not to somehow explain that even the future-oriented Mahalchim are somehow also connected to this factor of bizayon of the Horim. We didn't work that out yet. But if you somehow say along those lines that all these averos, again, are shiurim in the bizayon to the other v'imo, that the, you know, the gneva and the murder and the last misabrias are all stages in that rebellion against the parents, so then that's a way to explain how the act of gneva is not just the beginning of the process which leads to later melasa misabrios, but is part of this, the same avera. If the gneva and the melasa misabrios are all both functions of this continual bizayon or merid to the parents, so then with that understanding, you can then understand the Mizrahi's, you know, formulation that with the gneva, exactly in Devarim, exactly that with the gneva you started the rishus itself of the melasa misabrios, because both the gneva and the melasa misabrios are not just distinct actions, distinct averos, but rather are part of a continual merit against the parents. So that formulation of the Mizrahi again is important not just for what's the koveya between Nidin Hashem Sofa versus Vasher Hashem, but also, you know, highlights a certain perspective on the whole process of Ben Soramon.
One thing that I noted in Mizrahi, that what he seems to be saying is that this is making the idea of the Medrash, that it says, in other words, it's not necessarily a problem with the Medrash on the Tachay, because it seems to be making the idea of the where it says that Sama and the air, that it's Mida connected Mida. In other words, if the way of saving Yisrael had to do with any of the other averos that he had done, for instance, say that having killed someone, it would still Hashem would not have given it to him. But because he hadn't killed anyone through thirst,
Where do you see that?
Because he's making a deal with the Medrash, but he says, but osa avera shal sama, shadayim lo hiskel, he didn't start doing, but osa avera shal sama.
That could just be read as Shadayim Lo Hiskel.
Why is he mentioning Ba'osa Avera Shal Tzama?
Because that's the Avera that we're talking about.
Or why not any other
Avera?
Why not a path of Avera? Why does it have to be Avera Tzama?
He didn't even say he was time for Yerashir's father and Lazara. He still say like that Avera
Tzama,
he therefore not
going to tell him Tzama. I hear what you're saying. The problem is that the Mizrahi is the one who says
started his future rishos because before he had said he started to steal and stealing as the last day, which would be on Shabbos, and therefore more on Shabbos. So it's the same kind of change.
I hear what you're saying. I'm just pointing out that this same Mizrahi in Bereshis, again, Dira Maskel, Amr Lo Tzadik, is the one who points out that this, you know, this Baal Memra of Bashir Husham disagrees with the Tana who holds that Yishmael did all those affairs.
Everyone said it's like when you mean it, he's many affairs
to have to do it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. David?
This one, I think it's a major point that this is unique between Yishmael and Abishur Amor. By Yishmael, it's not the key of the being.
So it's a very good question. I wasn't going to get into that, but I can show you afterwards. There's a lot of the Mefarshi Rashi in Bereishis are done on that child. They're specifically coming from a slightly different angle. They're basically asking why is the Brisa, I mean, why are they invoking the future of Eros with the children instead of just coming on to his future? Meaning, instead of just saying that Yishmael himself was a Rasha, based on Shvichas Dam and Gilarayas and Bazara?
What?
Yeah,
right? Some say that.
That is the Sivzei Chachamim. But in short, that issue about why we're not talking about Yishmael's own sins, that's discussed by the Mizrahi, the Sivzei Chachamim, and the Gur Aryeh on the spot there. What?
Probably
the reason that
doing discuss that shows the greater magnitude of not being done in Hashem's service.
Say it again?
It shows how much, it's even a bigger cash than what we're asking, like, even if you want to say he'll do true, whatever.
Like, oh, yeah, exactly. No. Yeah, the original question without the tshuva, they're coming from the fact of, like, you have a bigger kashin than his children is him. But you're right, once you have the tshuva, so then that undermines, yeah, fine. Okay. So against the Mizrahi, right, basically, right, the Mizrahi's answer that the Tzchila Savera, or the Tzchila, the Tahalich Shalavera, is, you know, is the determining factor. So the Gur Aryeh, you know, in Surah number 11, basically completely rejects him. I mean, he basically says that doesn't make any sense. That's not a, you know, that's not a good way to square Basher Husham with Nidan Hashem Sofo, because the Gur Aryeh points out that Basher Husham implies that it's fully based on the past. And therefore, according to the, what the Mizrahi is doing, is that sometimes it's not fully based on the past. If you start the Avera, we'll focus on the future as well. So the Gur Aryeh says that doesn't make any sense to draw such a distinction based on Tchilas Avera. And therefore, the Gur Aryeh himself comes on to the answer, which we'll get to Chazer in a second, about, you know, comes on to his own answer, which we dealt with last time. Just to point out that I think it's, you know, noteworthy that the same Gur Aryeh, remember, what was the Gur Aryeh's perspective on Nidan Hashem Sofo? What? What? No, the Gur Aryeh was the Yamazaka, he's the Rodev. Someone else said you look Rodev?
Yeah.
So, the Gur Aryeh himself, Lamaskana, adopts the approach that the Nidan Hashem Sofo is a preventative measure. It's all about preventing the Avera. So I thought it worked out very nicely that the same Gur Aryeh, which thinks that Nidan Hashem Sofo is about Nidan Hashem Sofo being a preventative measure, is the same Gur Aryeh who's not going to be happy with this, with the Mizrahi's chiluk between Tchilas Avera and not. Meaning, as pointed out before, the whole chiluk of Tchilas Avera makes a lot of sense from the perspective that Nidan Hashem Sofo is about being mechayev a person for that which he did in the future. So from that perspective of being mechayev a person based on that which you did in the future, it makes sense to draw the line and say that, oh, we'll only be mechayev you based on that which you did in the future if you, at least you started it. But if you think like the Gur Aryeh, that Nidan Hashem Sofo is not being mechayev you for what you did in the future, but it's yama zakai by yama chayev in a literal sense, to prevent you from doing an Avera, so then who cares whether you started the Avera or not? Right? It's all a preventative measure. As long as we know that he's going to do the Navera in the future, so then you should prevent him from doing it and kill him before he gets there. It's the perspective of serving as a preventative measure, the chilik between Tchilas Avera doesn't really make any sense. I thought it worked out very nicely.
How do you know he's going to do it?
What? That's what Nidan Hashem Sofo is.
That's
by Ben Yehem, by Ben Sarah Moore. No, but then, so the Gur Aryeh rejects that. The Gur Aryeh says that he doesn't like that svara. He says, this whole svara of, oh, that it matters whether you started or not, that doesn't make any sense. Who rejects it?
Why don't you need any action to be
Perhaps. But I just, in short, just to explain it, again...
If it's one long avera, then what do you call it?
No, but not really. Even if it's one long avera, you still didn't do the part, which is kind of misa. Yeah, but they only did the beginning. What?
What? Is that preventing?
What? Preventing.
If we're considering one long avera, we just said that.
Again, remember, the Gur Aryeh rejects that song. So trying to understand, why is the Gur Aryeh not like that chiluk between Tchilas Avera and that? So I'm saying, from the perspective of a preventative measure, that chiluk doesn't make any sense. Because the preventative measure is about, we're preventing you from doing an Avera. So, mildly, the fact that you started the Avera, or the fact that you didn't start it at all, at the end of the day, as long as we know that you're going to do it, there's no difference. Mildly. So that's just ha'ara, why the Gur Aryeh L'shitaso would reject. Yeah.
The Gur Aryeh doesn't ask for that share of the show. Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Same.
It
doesn't
seem like it's such a problem, isn't it?
Same. The Afinu Mikod, the Hach, it's the same.
No, but it's not the articulation of Asher Hashem that is a problem.
Yeah, it's the same idea. Meaning the aim done until other Melo Lefimaisav is just a more explicit formulation of Asher Hashem. Yeah, okay. Fine. And to me, that's just a more explicated version of Asher Hashem. They both mean, based on what he did right now, just one's this, borrowing the Torah's pithy formulation by Asher Hashem, and the other one is the Gemara's, explicated version. Yeah.
I think also it's just sort of
What?
The proof of the formulation?
Pithy, explicated. It's good to cure it.
Yes.
I think that the what you're saying is put it in a different way in which he rephrases the rain at the beginning. Because Yafka, because he's Al Shem Sofa in his and it's totally that, the counterpoint he has to use is to make the Mizrahi more Maisa. Then he doesn't adopt the first lashon of the Drachma Bim Lemaisa. He explicitly says Ma'akas Akbar Hesko Bad Bira, talking about the Maisa itself. He doesn't talk about Derach, he doesn't create any buffers between the Maisa and that, because he counterpoint he has to establish is that around Maisa.
Interesting. Okay, again, so again, the first Mahalak in the Rishonim, in the Mefarshim rather, to resolve the theory between Nidin Hashem Sof and Bashir Hashem, again, is Mizrahi. The Chilak is whether, you know, the process or the Avera, the process of the Avera or the Avera itself has been started. The second approach, which we already dealt with yesterday, we'll just summarize it quickly, is the Gur Arya's own approach, which is the Chilak between Beis Din Shalmata and Beis Din Shalmala. As I pointed out last time, the Gur Arya, you know, the Ma'aral develops an interesting, you know, broader, you know, a theme which has broader implications, the idea that there is a fundamentally different role for Beis Din Shalmala and Beis Din Shalmata. Namely, the role of the Beis Din Shalmata is to basically, you know, sort of like an advocate on behalf of the person, to put a person in the best possible standing like before he gets to Shemayim. So therefore, it says the Ma'aral, so therefore, you know, when Beis Din Shalmata administers a Chiyav Misa, you know, a Misa's Beis Din that serves as a Kapara, or and then there will also, you know, be done, Nidin al-Shem Sofo, as a preventative measure, again, Gurari l'Shitaso, to again, to prevent a person, to again, to allow a person to, when they reach Shemayim, to be in the best possible, you know, place. And therefore, when it comes to Ben Sora Mora, which is within the jurisdiction, within the realm of Beis Din Shalmata, so that's when, you know, Beis Din Shalmata will be Nidin al-Shem Sofo. But the whole Parsha of Yishmal, which is about Basher Husham, that's the jurisdiction, that's the realm of Beis Din Shalmala, who serve a completely different person, purpose of rather, like, they just, Beis Din Shalmala says, Maral, it's all about, you know, holding someone accountable for their past actions. Now, a person finally gets a Shemayim. So Beis Din Shalmala says, well, Maisa, what did the person do? What do they deserve? And Beis Din Shalmala holds them accountable. But there's no notion of a Beis Din Shalmala, says the Maral, you know, putting someone to death, you know, to serve, you know, to save that person from a future of error. That's not just not within their role.
So this query that you're saying now, that's not the query we had now, that's the query we had back yesterday.
Yeah, again, it's they're connected. He rejects
right.
The first approach.
The one rejects it doesn't give an answer.
Exactly. That was the other one, yeah.
And so the answer is that Basher Husham only applies to Beis Din Shalmala.
Exactly, and Nidin Hashem Sof is Beis Din Shalmala. Exactly, yeah.
But the Torah saying
Nidin
Hashem Sof, it seems like the Beis Din Shalmala is telling the Beis Din Shalmala to disregard Basher Husham. It seems to be a logical equivalent of Beis Din
Shalmala. It's a Torah's instruction to the Beis Din Shalmala. Again, the whole Torah is, I mean, not the whole Torah. A lot of the Torah are instructions on how the Beis Din Shalmala should, you know, administer
justice. The Beis Din Shalmala ordering the Beis Din Shalmala.
I wouldn't say Beis Din Shalmala. I mean,
like Kadosh Baruch Hu telling the Beis Din Shalmala. Okay, we just said a Kadosh Baruch Hu does Basher Hashem.
In the Beis Din Shalmala sense of like, when you're talking about Chi of Misa B'dei Shamayim, like, that's the Beis Din Shalmala kind of idea. You know, it's not, you know, we don't like this, so, it's, you know, it's not like, oh, when Hashem talks, that's Beis Din Shalmala. Now, Beis Din Shalmala, when we were talking about the distinction between Beis Din Shalmala and Beis Din Shalmata, that's the referring to the distinctions of, like, you know, the Misa administered by Beis Din in this world as Beis Din Shalmata. Beis Din Shalmala is like, you know, Misa B'dei Shamayim. When, like, you know, when God allows someone to die in the case of Yishmael.
No, so just two different systems.
Exactly.
Well,
it's
not
I can't hear you.
Like, everything you said, like,
you
like,
to
the
Beis Din Shalmala.
Oh,
yeah.
Anybody?
I never heard
of
that.
Okay.
Very strong.
Any other? Okay, we're good? Okay. Okay. So now coming on to the third Mahalach, which... Okay, we're good? Okay, so the third approach, which, you know, I'm going to suggest, both on the basis of a Ramban, but not explicit anywhere, which is to say that we can, you know, suggest a potential third, you know, koveya, or determining factor of when we, you know, apply the din of Nidin al-Shem Sofo, in contrast to applying the din of Basher Hushan. And that's something we've said in the past, the Koveya being whether the person has a shame Rasha, whether the person is a Gavra Rasha. Right? And basically, based on this, we would say that a Ben Soro Moreh is Nidan Al Shem Sofo because he is already Rasha, because he is already a Rasha due to the Averis he already committed. The simple one being, he already stole from his parents, and we'll see the Ramban for, you know, additional Averis they already committed. So someone who has already, you know, already attained the Shem Rasha, so then someone who already has a Shem Rasha, then will be Nidan Al Shem Sofo. And we'll explain exactly the basis of this look. But Yishmael, and this is when Elazar asked me Kasha before, but Yishmael, for this Mahalach, who is not yet defined as a Rasha, so therefore we say, since he is not a Rasha, he's going to be Nidon Ba'asher Husham. Again, and this Mahalach, which assumes that Yishmael, who is Nidon Ba'asher Husham, the assumption that he is not a Rasha, goes along with the Mizrahi, just in terms of this point, which again is the Mizrahi which I quoted earlier to Amram, is Mizrahi in Bereshis there, Chaf Aleph Yudzayin, Dirum Aschel Amru Lo Tzadik, where the Mizrahi points out that this, the Shittos who hold of Va'asher Husham, basically argue with the other Medrash, which says that Yishmael already committed Averos, the big three Averos of Avazar, Shechazam, and Gil Arayos. So again, assuming like that Mizrahi, that this Tana of Ba'asher Husham disagrees with that other Tana, that other Medrash about Yishmael's Averus, then you could say that this Tana Ba'asher Husham thinks that Yishmael's status as of now is not a Rasha, and therefore since he's not yet a Rasha, we say he's Nidon Ba'asher Husham. And it's only Ben Soro Mora who's already has a Shem Rasha that he is Nidon Al Shem Sofo. So now just to give two explanations as to why that would matter. I mean, why would him attaining a Shem Rasha be a reason to be Nidon Al Shem Sofo? So, can I just say two reasons? No. So, the first explanation, again, echoing something we've said in the past, is that simply the fact that even though Nidon Al Shem Sofo is a Svara, we wouldn't use it to kill a completely innocent person. And the idea is that we're not going to, the Beis Din can't put a person to death who lacks a Shem Rasha. That's just against the whole, maybe against the whole system. There's no concept of Beis Din putting a completely innocent person to death. So once a person has a Shem Rasha, so then that allows us to be Nidan Al Shem Sofo and put him to death based on a future Maisa, which is Chayiv Nisa.
How does that deal with Basher Husham?
But someone who lacks a Shem Rasha, so therefore you have to be Nidon, you have to be Don, that person, Basher Husham. You can't look at his future actions. That's one explanation. So again, one explanation is that it's a sheer in, right, it's whether you're able to, basically you're only allowed to kill a person who has a Shem Rasha, and therefore you can only, you know, apply Nidan Al Shem Sofo if a person has a Shem Rasha.
Not being Nidan Al Shem Sofo, Basher Husham, now he's Shem
Rasha.
Ben
Soro Mora is not
Basher Husham. It's
a Shem Rasha.
Therefore Basher Husham killed.
Therefore Nidan Al Shem Sofo.
How is Basher Husham okay?
Basher Husham, which means that we go based on the present, go based on the past, that's for someone who's not a Rasha, like Yishmael. Oh. I mean, the determining factor, right, the resolution of the stira between Yishmael and Ben Soro Mora, according to this third approach, is whether the person at hand has a Shem Rasha. So only a person with a Shem Rasha can we put him to death on the basis of Nidan Al Shem Sofo. The first explanation being that if he doesn't have a Shem Rasha, we just can't put such a person to death. The other way of explaining why Shem Rasha plays a role is to say that perhaps it's a zchus to be nidon basher husham, right? Perhaps, you know, maybe like mi'ikar din nidon hashem sofo makes sense, and it's a special zchus, a special chesed that will say, nidon basher husham, we won't be, you know, nidon such a person, you know, hashem sofo. But once the person attains the shem rasha, so then that person loses that zchus. It's the other way of saying it. So again, either the shem rasha is koveya because we can't put a shem, we can only put a person with a shem rasha to death, or the shem rasha is koveya because only once a person becomes a rasha do they lose the zchus of being nidon ba'asher husham. Yeah.
So is that how the Tosfos Rush can ask his kasha without contradicting the
Gemara? We'll hold up on Tosfos Rush until we get there.
But am I correct?
I'm not even listening. So just to give a makor for this idea, I mean, perhaps some evidence in the Rishonim to this idea that a shem rasha is an important fact in the sugya, goes back to the Ramban. Right, the Ramban in Zvarim on the Psukim of Ben Sora Mora, right, even though he invokes Nidon Al Shem Sofo and says, you know, the Ikar Mechayev is Nidon Al Shem Sofo, the Eliyaser as Achirim, as we developed last time, but yet the Ramban goes out of his way to say that the Ben Sora Mora is already, basically a Rasha, he doesn't use those terms, but already violated two Averos. Right, what are the two Averos that he quotes? The Mekal of Vimo and Kedoshim Tzihu. So if you like, you first read the Ramban and you see that part, like, oh, nice. Then he goes on to say, Nidon al Shem Sofo, Kedel Yasser Asacher, and then you scratch your head and wonder, so then what was the first part for? Why is the Ramban say that, or why does the Ramban think it's important to note that the Ben Sora More already violated those two dinim, those two averos? Like, where does that, you know, play into the whole scheme of things? Right? It's not clear. But it's possible to suggest for the Ramban, along the lines of this third approach, that the only time we'd be nidon such a person, al shem sofo, if he already attained the shem rasha, which the ben sora umora did by violating those two averos of mekala of avi'imo and kedoshim tiyu. So it could be that's what the Ramban's getting at. The reason why the Ramban has to go out of his way to say that, oh, then ben sora umora is already a rasha, already violating these two averos, because it could be that without those averos, without the current shem rasha, we wouldn't even get to the next stage of being nidon al shem sofo k'del yaser es acher. Yes. Very good. That's very interesting. So, right, I like that. So you're saying just to people on the right side, you know, you hear what Elazar is saying, he's a very soft-spoken, you know, some new individual. As the Elazar just point out at a very I meant it as a complete compliment. I'm not sure what the laughing was. Okay, so hopefully I guess
what
it
is. I knew it like a person.
So basically, the vart of Elazar is that if you look back at the Lashon of the Medrash, quoted by Rashi by Yishmael, and the back and forth between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, formulates the question to Malachim and says, is he a Rasha or a Tzaddik? And they say, okay, you know, they say, okay, you're right, he's a tzaddik, and therefore he says Bashar Rusham. So that would work out very nicely with this idea that the determining factor of whether you're going to apply Bashar Rusham is whether he has a Shem Rasha. I like that idea a lot. Okay, so now, okay.
The only difference between the two answers that he said is like, one, the drafty, why would you need a Vera to do that to be developed in Sofa? It's basically like how it is, what's in the fault, right?
You're asking what's the difference in the first and the third answer, whether the Kovea is a Tzibila Sovera or Shem Rasha?
No. If he said that either we can't put it as a man to death based on the circumstances,
yeah.
Or if someone said he said it was a close number, I need to also so forth. Because the difference between those two things is like not the default, right?
Exactly. Makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so let's, the last makor we want to do. Good question. Saying it's kedoshim to you. Here he does multiple things. Here he's also mekala the emo, and the Ramban doesn't mention he's also a ganav. So again, that's a good question. If the only factor was kedoshim to you, would that suffice alone? That's an interesting question. So the general status of might tie to my fellow's article on the topic of, you bring a chi of Ola, or specifically the unique kapara of an Ola for Mitzvah's Essay. It's like a unique kapara required for a bitzel of an Essay. This comes off actually another Ramban in Parshas Yisro, when he's talking about the Essay Dechalosa Essay. Fascinating comments where the Ramban says the reason why Essay Dechalosa Essay, because Losa Essay, represents Yiras Hashem. And Mrs. Essay represents Avas Hashem. It says, Avas Hashem is Doche Yiras Hashem. That's the short version of it. So somehow, from there, there's, what can be gleaned in terms of, what's, the nature of a Bittul Essay. That somehow, you're distancing yourself from the realm of Avas Hashem. The point of being Mekayim in the Essay is that, that brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So perhaps, the Koveya of a Bittul Essay, as my father-in-law developed, The kovem a bittel essay is that you're distancing yourself, you know, from Hashem. It could be that requires a unique kapara of an ola, which again is a focus on that relationship. That's a longer answer than you probably were expecting, but either way, it's a good question. There's what to be done on this.
I enshrined the article.
Tim Sinachas. Can we just do the Tosa? I just want to make sure I get this Tosa Rush because it's very, very important, and Cole's very excited about it. Okay, so the last.
Was I right or should I be?
Okay, very important. So the last makor I wanted to deal with is the Tosa's Rush. Right, so far in this last, you know, this last topic we've been discussing about, you know, the tension between Nidon Hashem Sofo and Basher Husham, right, and this question that the Farshim are grappling with, like, you know, what's Koveya, when do we apply one versus the other? So this Tosas Rush, which is, you know, tucked away in the Shach Bataya at the beginning of the parak in the context of Katan, again, is very important for this issue of Nidon Hashem Sofo, this tension between Nidon Hashem Sofo and Basher Husham. Does anyone recall the kasha that the Tosas Rush is implicitly coming to answer? Yes, Cole.
Well, so
short, quick.
So Frex the Tosas Rush in many places.
So first, what does the Gemara say here?
So the Gemara says that Gemara asks first why we need a pasuk. First, it exempts.
The line that the Tosas Rush is coming off of.
Oh, it's like Heifan Eshkasan Dan Eshakasav Dahachali Ba'yikra
LeMifter. Right. So the Gemara here says what? That where do you ever find the need for a drasha to exclude a katan from an onesh? Right. That's the blanket statement from our Gemara. Again, lo matzino. You never find that you need a drasha to say, oh, a katan is mufka from a certain onesh. So it comes along the Tosfos Rosh to ask.
Correct, the Tosfos Rosh.
Yeah.
Oh, but like actually, that's
not true.
We see it all over the place.
That one,
and we see that you need a pasuk specifically to exempt a katan.
Exactly. So the question is: there are other Gemaras which say matzinu.
And where?
No, we do find drashos required to exclude a katan from an onesh. So what is the Gemara here saying that you never need it? So answer is the Tosfos Rosh.
Those other places, the avera, the punishment is for an avera previously committed.
Exactly.
Here, there doesn't appear to be such a strong havamina. Here, the avera appears to be
in the future.
Al Shem Sofo.
Exactly.
Right.
And therefore, it says the Tosa Rush. Yeah, but again, in terms of the Ikra Makayev. Oh, get there in a second. We'll get there. Very good, very good. So basically, the Tosa Rush, the answer, and then we'll analyze. The answer to the Tosa Rush is that the only time you need a drasha in the other Gemaras to exclude a katan from an onish is when the katan already committed the avera. But here, where the avera for which the katan would be chayav nisa has not yet been committed, again, classical formulation of the normative future-oriented approach, but here, where the katan didn't do the avera yet, so there, you don't need a drasha to exclude a katan. So again,
and therefore
it says that it's important to read the lashon of the rush here, aval, when it comes to ben saramar, since al shem sofo, since the avera has not yet been, you know, committed, pshita de'in la'onsho ela ba'asher husham. It's pashit that you should not be ma'anish him. Why? Because you should not be nidon the katan al shem sofo. You should rather be nidon bidan the katan ba'asher husham. So says the Tosa Rosh, it's coming out of the Tosa Rosh. Again, it's
but
Tosa Rosh is highlighting that this tension between Nidon Hashem Sofo and Basher Husham, and pointing out that when it comes to a katan, at least at this stage of the Gemara, does not qualify for Nidon Hashem Sofo. Right? A person such as a katan who is not culpable for his actions, or I would say, Tosa Rosh is baseline, that even if he'd have a havamina that a katan would be culpable for the actions he performed in the past, and therefore in you know, past-oriented averos, the Gemaras need to bring a drasha to exclude a katan. So therefore, just because you need a drasha, there's a havamina in past-oriented averos to be poter a katan, it doesn't mean you'd have a havamina to be mechayev a katan for an avera that he hasn't yet committed. Because when it comes to a katan should be nidon basher husham and not al shem sofo. So again, so in the big picture, what this Tosafot Rosh is highlighting, again, is our attention that it's not always so pashit that you always do nidon al shem sofo, or that you always do basher husham. And specifically saying that one place to draw the line, says the Tosafot Rosh, is by a katan. That even if, in normal circumstances of a ben sora moria by gadol, you would be nidon al shem sofo, by a katan, you would be nidon by asher husham. And the Sora seems to be that you'd only be nidon Hashem sofo for someone who's culpable for his actions and therefore, you know, his future actions. But a katan who's less culpable for his actions is therefore not culpable enough for his future actions to be done him Hashem sofo. Oh, excellent. Before we get there, so everyone understands the pashpra and the Tosafot Rosh?
The Tosafot
would not apply to a katan.
It only applies by who?
It only applies to a gadol. But again, and being the very important aura that again is hitting on this tension that we've been developing, that it's not so pashpra that, yeah, of course, nidon hashem sofo. Once it's a klal, it's a klal. No. There are certain circumstances in which nidon hashem sofo is applied. Could be Tchilas Avera, could be Tavke Beis and Shomata, could be only when it's a Shem Rasha. Because according to Tosafot Rosh, he has another qualification that it doesn't apply to a katan who is less culpable for his actions.
Rebbe's saying that he's been calling that he was in the Russian support and he's actually not his possession
now. No, I think it's a meaning or both. Meaning, I think he's someone who's less, because he's less accountable or culpable for his actions in general, I think we're also holding less accountable for his future actions.
What's this?
Meaning,
if his future actions, will be responsible.
I would say like this, that do you see there being, meaning a previously committed avera is more chamor than a future committed avera? You haven't done it yet, right? So they're very basically he's saying that just because you would have a havamina to be mechayev a katan for the actions he did in the past, it doesn't mean that you'd also be mechayev him for the future. There's a certain level of culpability. Again, the maskana, you repater him for all actions. But even in the havamina, if there was only a havamina to be mechayev a katan and onish for that which he did already, but not for that which he didn't do. Because that which he didn't do is less chamor.
It's less chamor in the regard that he didn't do it yet, but it's also more chamor in that it does do it.
Oh, okay. True. Okay, that's going to be. We'll get back to that point. That's going to explain the next one. So the question that Ellie asked, and everyone should be asking, is that in short, if you to summarize Tosafot Rosh's answer, Tosafot Rosh basically said that nidon al shem sofo, right, is less applicable to a katan, right. That nidon Hashem sofo shouldn't apply to a katan. Right? That's what he just said. But yet, the next stage of the Gemara, if you recall, invokes nidon Hashem sofo specifically to say the opposite. That because nidon Hashem sofo, that's why ben sora mora should apply to a katan. So again, how do you square the Gemara, which says that nidon Hashem sofo should apply to a katan, with Tosafot Rosh, which is saying that nidon Hashem sofo should not apply to a katan? It seems to be a direct stira between the Tosafot Rosh's explanation of the first line of the Gemara with the very next line of the Gemara. That's the big Bam Kasha of the Tosafot Rosh. Oh. So, everyone understand the question? No? So, it's possible to suggest that what's going on here are two different issues. Right? The issue that Tosafot Rosh is dealing with is a different issue that the next line of the Gemara is dealing with. The Tosafot Rosh is dealing with the issue that we've been dealing with tonight. The tension between Ba'asher Husham and Nidun al Shem Sofa. Right? And the Tosfos of Rosh is saying that from the perspective of that issue, of whether we should be Dan a Katan, Basher Husham, or Nidun al Shem Sofa, from that perspective, it makes sense to say that a Katan who's less culpable for his actions, perhaps we shouldn't be mechayev. We should be more, you know, lenient on such on a katan, and only hold him responsible for that which he did in the past. Basher husham. We shouldn't hold a katan culpable for his future actions. So again, the Tosfos Rosh, when dealing with the issue of do you follow basher husham or do you follow nidan al shem sofo? So for that issue, the Tosfos Rosh is saying that a katan should not be subject to nidan al shem sofo. But the next stage of the Gemara, which implicitly applies, right? There's a silent transition according to the Torah Sirach in the next stage of the Gemara. The next stage of the Gemara obviously applies Nidin al Shem Sofo to a Katan and assumes that Nidin al Shem Sofo will apply to a Katan. So basically, the next line of the Gemara basically just said, from the standpoint of Basher Husham and Nidin al Shem Sofo, the Gemara is taking a stand and say, oh, we even apply Nidin al Shem Sofo to a katan. And once you say that, now the Gemara is dealing with another issue. Slightly different. And that is, right, if you're trying to be ma'anish, if you're trying to give an onish to a katan, so then from which perspective does it make more sense to kill a katan? And now it's Sadamar, based on his past actions, which are only done as a katan, or Nidin al Shem Sofo, which takes into account the actions that he will also perform as a gadol. So from that perspective,
so the next line is
from the bigger, which, yeah. Yeah, the big, exactly. So I would say Tosfos Rosh in the earlier stage of the Gemara is dealing with, you know, issue number 5, Basher Husham versus Nidin al Shem Sofo. The next line of the Gemara has already resolved this issue and decided that, no, just like we apply Nidin Hashem Sofo to a gadol, we'll also apply that to a katan. And once you apply Nidin Hashem Sofo to a katan, so then the question is, you know, right, it makes more sense, you know, what makes more sense? To be mechayev, you know, a katan al chet o, on that which he did in the past, namely his avera as a katan, or doesn't make more sense, the Gemara says as a statement, or it makes more sense to say that to be mechayev, to be ma'anish, a katan, al shem sofo, right? Because once you establish that a katan is nidan al shem sofo and not basher husham, so then it makes more sense to be ma'anish a katan, al shem sofo, where you're taking into account the katan's future gadol averos, right? His future averos, which will be performed when he is a gadol. So in short, so while the Tosfos Rosh and the Gemara seem to have, you know, opposing implications in terms of what whether Nidan al Shem Sofo is applicable to a katan, right? Tosfos Rosh saying it shouldn't be applicable to a katan, and the Gemara is saying that Nidan al Shem Sofo makes sense to apply to a katan, they're really dealing with two different issues. Tosfos Rosh is dealing with the tension between Basher Husham versus Nidan al Shem Sofo, and the Gemara is dealing with that once you apply Nidan al Shem Sofo, then it makes more sense to be mechayev a katan based on his future actions as a gadol than it does to be mechayev him based on his past actions, which were only done as a katan. Yes, we'll stop here and we'll take any questions.